a snot rocket. One moment, Marie is, for some reason, petting Rob's beard and then just shot one out.
I blew out with my mouth.
Stop. What?
She was, no one could see it. She was accusing me of hogging the microphone. Well, you 30 were. Seconds into the episode.
I mean, you were.
Do you have sorry. Anything to say for yourself?
Defend yourself.
This mic is like a cotton ball. So it's really cute. It reminds me of like a little bunny rabbit's tail.
It's like a clover.
People have aversions to cotton balls. So I some people are like, and some people are like, oh.
No. I shouldn't say balls. A cotton ball. I should say like a little bunny yeah. rabbit tail.
Like yeah. a bunny tail.
Peter Cottontail.
Question.
How's everybody doing? Okay.
I was going to hit it with what we were doing before we hit record. Question for everyone who listens. Do you share your location with people who have iPhones? Why are we not? Why or why not? Why are we not? Share it with me.
You can answer any one of those questions.
We were just talking
I
about
only
how,
have coffee.
We were just talking about how we couldn't figure out why. Was it my phone that was sharing my location with you, Marie, or your phone?
We were both sharing locations, but we can't
couldn't
see
figure
it.
Out. Yeah, I don't know.
And anyways. Jeremy was weeping on the couch here just a second ago, explaining how I didn't share my location with him, but I shared it with Sarah.
Rob shared.
Let me show you who I have on my phone.
Rob shares his location with at least six other of his friends, and not me.
Which turns out to be false because I checked.
That is not true.
He is one of four people, including my mother.
I have you, Marie, and Allison Shear. I don't know how she's.
I know how.
That was because of Disney.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's how.
What do you think?
I was like, when
sometimes
did
when
she...
she's on her way to things, she'll share her location.
Yes,
she won't
she
just
does
be like, here's my ETA. She'll be like, here's
when
my
location. You're married to a certified Apple genius, you do things
it's
like that.
So true.
Yeah, that's very true. So, yeah, that was, I was like, I looked and I'm like, why am I sharing? I mean, I don't care. I'm happy to share my location.
Why the heck does Allison Shear know where I am? Where does she get?
Love you, girl. Love you.
But back off.
She doesn't have time to listen to our podcast.
She does not.
She doesn't know. It's okay. Maybe one day.
When you shout out people, you know we'll never hear it.
I'm really glad we're not recording this, like
video recording.
Video.
How come?
Because I have, I think I have conjunctivitis in my eyeball. I don't know. It started acting up an hour ago, and it won't stop.
I am on the side of that eye as we're next to each other,
sharing a tiny cottontail mic.
You guys have honestly never sat closer during a podcast either.
Just close.
It's quite beautiful.
Gosh, that's
I
so
just
funny.
Know I don't want it looming over my head like I'm gonna get it maybe. So I'm just like,
gonna commit
put your eye
butterfly.
In mine. Let's
the
get
old,
this over with.
The old iris smooch.
Kisses.
Anyway,
it's not that bad, right, guys?
Oh no, it's
you're beautiful. You're gorgeous.
I need an eye patch.
There's like this Trolls movie. It's one of the newer ones where like the trolls get pink eye and it looks nasty.
Oh, that's gross.
It's like glitter.
Oh, it's so bad.
It's reminding me of that.
Pause Take for a picture. Selfie. Sorry.
Pink eye picture.
It's her with pink eye and no context me holding a rabbit's tail because the microphone doesn't look like a microphone.
It's you pre-pink
we'll
eye.
We'll post that on social media. No one will know what the heck we're
caught
talking about.
Caught a bunny.
It's like a lucky
Almost
rabbit's
lost my eye.
It's like a lucky rabbit's foot. That's what it is.
That's great.
Anyways, so who are you sharing locations with?
Oh, I already said.
Your turn. Yes.
His mom.
Wait, who's the fourth person?
One of my sisters, who I will not name on the podcast. Mostly because this was, I don't do
oh,
this
you
stuff
don't
on
want
purpose.
The other sisters to know you don't.
Yeah, I don't do this on purpose.
They all,
They're all
they know.
Know now.
They know if
That's
they can
if they
see
listen.
You or not.
So now I'll
it
find out who's
one
listening.
To listen yeah. for them all to FaceTime.
It only takes Gabby
out.
To listen.
That's true. That is the one.
Anyway.
For her to say, oh, it is me.
No, for her to say.
To figure out who it is.
If it's not me, who is it?
What?
Gabby's the sleuth in the family.
Oh.
She needs to know.
Yeah.
Okay. She's relentless.
Who am I sharing locations with? Rob, Haley, Allison and my brother
Ernie. We are all sharing with Allie.
The Shearers will know where we are at all.
Sam doesn't. Sam doesn't know where I am.
Sam knows where I am. And his wife knows where she is. You're off the grid.
That's so funny. Anyway. It's like Snapchat. I remember at one point I looked at Snapchat and somehow I could see all of the locations of the people I was friends with. And I was like, this is weird. And then someone, it was Harley. She was like, hey, just so you know, like your like location's on for like people watch you like where you're going at any point of the time of your day. And I was like, I don't like that. She's like, yeah, you can change that. And I was like, wow.
Hot take. Weird. I think Snapchat was designed to take advantage of people.
Like, probably.
No objections here.
Like, hey, what if we made an app where people could send pictures that auto-delete themselves? And to make it safe, we'll notify the person if they screenshot it. So it's like automatically like, what kind of pictures are you intending for people to send?
Yeah, the premise of it, initial premise of it does not sound appropriate.
Yeah, and then now they set locations. So now if you're a high schooler and some stalker high schooler boy friends you on Snapchat, they can follow you around too now. It's like set up to be scary to me.
Is it all I ever wanted? That's
once I heard about it, because I thought Harley, who lived with us, like had that on. Like I thought that was just a native feature. I'm like, you're in high school. That's dangerous. No one should be able to find you that easily.
No, she was the one that told me to turn it off. Yeah, she was like, you don't want to keep that on. I was like, I didn't even know it was on. And then, which
yet
is
another
like,
feature that's weird. They just never tell you that they track your location.
Is it made by China?
Probably.
I don't know. Either way, I like Snapchat because I've been using it since high school with just Marie and Emily and like a few other people. That's like it.
And you've gone this long without getting kidnapped, so I guess.
I think I'm okay. I think I'm safe. Either way, it's not it's not the safest app. I don't think many apps are safe these days, but.
Phones aren't safe. Apparently, you can turn them off. And they'll still listen to you. Like the government could just tap into
100%. That's the whole thing, right? Because if someone was going to answer back, I don't share my location for privacy reasons, whether you share it or not, it is active. Like,
yes.
Like they know where you are.
Yep.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah. Well.
Anyways, what are you guys learning this week?
How many
burner
phones have you gone through? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, wow.
Not enough.
Any interesting podcasts or things that you've been reading?
Rob doesn't want to get into this.
Yeah, I can't. I can't. It's a...
More I'm in, Sasquatch stuff.
I'm in such a deep rabbit hole of conspiracy theories that if I brought them up right now, we'd be here forever.
It was really funny. We have like a guy's chat that Dan Reed, shout out. Dan Reed messaged, it was like, hey, any good podcasts, right? It was Dan.
Yeah.
And Rob answered, all of mine are political. He said, what are they? And I answered, all of mine are Disney. And he said, yeah, what are they? He's down for either.
Okay, my recent podcast, Rob, just so we're on the conspiracy train thing, it wasn't actually that bad. It was actually very informative. That went right over my head with so many things because it was an astrophysicist on this podcast. But it was with Dr. Jordan Peterson. He's like from the Daily Wire. It was Heavens, the Matrix, Dark Matter, and Aliens. It was actually very interesting.
No, I think you brought up that you started that.
Oh, did I? No, I listened to another one.
Oh, gotcha.
I've been on his podcast recently. It was, I can't even remember which one it was. It was essentially, The Sins of Adam and the True Nature of Eve. And that was really cool. Mm. No, I don't think I brought it up in podcast. We were just talking about what I was listening to.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, it was pretty cool.
What
just
I
very
loved
like,
about her
wow.
finishing up. The astrophysicist episode is, it was everything that's in the book I'm trying to read. And so I understood it. And it was pretty fun to actually know what they were talking about. Cause I'm like,
it's just interesting because they're like discovering that everything we discovered years ago isn't accurate, really. Or it's pointing to other directions that are led to be something else. Mm. So it's just very interesting that even like with science and all that, it's just like we're discovering more that we're like, that counteracts what we thought of like to be true a couple of years ago. So just interesting
stuff. Hugh Ross talks about it a lot more positively towards Christianity. Mm-hmm. Every new discovery solidifies the existence of God.
Well, what's
like,
interesting.
Every time they're like, no, it's this. And that's how you can be an atheist and an astrophysicist. Then like a year later, they're like, that's not possible.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting because I think the guy that was on this podcast wasn't technically a Christian, but he was like...
They all come to that
realization. They come to the conclusion that there is something that had created the matter to happen and for this life to happen. And it's just kind of cool.
I think it's interesting that no one ever quotes those parts of Stephen Hawking's and every other atheist scientist. There's all of them have a quote that say something like, I don't know, we're trying to figure it out, but it does seem like this was designed.
I think
and no one ever brings up that atheists are saying that too.
Yeah, there was I was listening to a podcast that came out like yesterday. It was an interview between Jordan Peterson and Elon Musk, and they were talking about Dawkins. I think it's Richard Dawkins, but either way, he said something like, "I'm a cultural Christian," but he's like an atheist. Like he's an atheist. He doesn't believe in God. But basically, he's saying, "I would trust a culture run by Christians more than I would trust any other culture."
Yeah, it's interesting.
And so, but so like he doesn't believe in God, but the moral structure of the Christian world, he would be like,
It comes with organization, right? Like when you think about it, like that's what it is. Like something run in organization, like through government control, like not government control, but like organization's a good thing. And when there's structure, it's a good thing. Sorry, you almost like elbowed me.
Well, I think it's more than organization. There's so many. There's, I feel like, more religions more organized than Christianity is today.
Today, for sure.
So I think it's really the heart of Christianity that's appealing to somebody on the outside.
The design, right? Everything is designed in a specific way. And when you follow it, you're blessed by God. These blessings flow because they're built into the way God created things.
Yeah. Well, right.
And it just runs the way it's supposed to.
I know.
Are you just reacting to her eyes still? Are you having a hard time?
That's why I need an eye patch. Because,
like, she's going, like,
I'm just, like, you know.
I know I'm one to talk, but when I look at somebody with a crossed eye or, like, has a cross eye.
Bob, that's you.
I know. That's what
that's
I'm saying.
That's why he said he's one to talk.
So I just try to look at the eye that's looking straight. Like,
I can't, and I try so hard. I can't stop staring at the eye that's not looking at me.
Get over here, buddy.
You can do it.
I can't figure out which one is the straight one. I'm focused on trying to figure it out. That I'm like, which one's the wrong eye?
What is looking at me?
Now I'm self-conscious. I'm just going to close my eyes for the interview.
You had a hard time in high school figuring out who was the straight one, too.
What
are we talking about right now? Where are we?
Total tangent. Haley was in love with what was his name? The singer.
What are you talking about?
Adam Lambert.
Adam Lambert. And I like told her when she was in high school, I was like, you know, he's not into women, right? And she's like, no, he totally is. He sings like rock and roll stuff.
I
just another story that we've known
that.
Each other.
You
said I'm always trying to figure out which one, which is the straight one.
All right, babe.
It's called entertainment, people. Jeez, it's supposed to make you laugh.
What are you learning, Jay?
Nothing. Not really nothing. Nothing deep, right? Mm. There's not a lot of deep things right now.
Need to like always be diving deep.
Yeah, right now again, going through the day by day, spending time with God in the morning, prioritizing that. I'm still just working through that because I believe in the mundane. Mm-hmm. I believe that God moves in that, and so I'm not looking for any sort of big. We've had plenty of big breakthrough moments. Now it's time to like be with the Lord and not expect more from him, not ask him to rip me to shreds, but just be with the Lord. Mm. So I've been trying to just do that, be consistent in it. And I've been way more consistent in that than I ever have been in
beautiful
the gym, in anything else. Like it's been super consistent. Wake up, make a cup of coffee, read devotional, unless I sleep in, then I got to read it later because the kids are awake, but read the devotional, you know, and do something else. But, I don't know.
That's great.
That's what we've been working on.
I think that's a struggle for me is like when you're in the mundane, like you sometimes forget to like find the time to be with God. Whereas when you're in your pitfall, it's much easier to, like, at least for me, I think it's a lot easier to then remember God in those moments. Like, oh, I have nothing, but I need you. Like, I need all of you. And it's much easier to find that place with him.
I think, I feel like I've gone my whole Christian life only going to God when I need him or when I need forgiveness or when I need, like, I've only ever gone to God in those times.
Yeah.
And so,
or when you were scared.
Yeah, like, or when I was scared. But now it's, like, just continual.
Yeah.
You know, and I just think it's very nice. It brings a lot of ground, like, it's very grounding for the day. It's grounding for just life in general. And you learn a little bit about yourself every time, too, especially going through the day-by-day book. Like, it goes through all these different aspects and things to think about and questions to answer. So I've been doing that. He has a question on my Kindle. I highlight it and say, add a note, which lets you handwrite notes, which, again, is really slow because I'm a homeschooler. So, like, writing notes takes a long time.
And he only knows how to write with a pencil with his feet.
So
it takes so long.
The way to do it. And so, like, everything is slow. It's a slow process, and I like it.
It's good.
That's what I'm doing. Other than that, I'm trying to learn CSS code for websites.
A message from the Lord.
Because I want to build websites differently, because I do that for a living. And, yeah. That's
just, well, you brought your wife to tears.
See the CSS code.
Gets them every time.
How did he make that header a video?
Did we want to, just for listeners and stuff, touch on how and what the assassination attempt on Donald Trump, like,
I have,
like,
nothing what to we add. Thought you about go that. For it.
I mean, I don't.
He probably has too much to
no,
add.
Yeah, all right, never mind.
It's fine. No, listeners aren't interested.
They don't care. No. Did it not shake anybody? Like, did it not, like, whoa, this is crazy? Like, what was your what happened
for you? You know, guys? Some people, like, obsess over celebrities, obsess over, like, different
people. It doesn't surprise me.
It,
like, truly.
I have no emotional connection. It's not that I don't care if he lives or dies. That's not true. But I don't care. And so the fact that he was okay, it almost, like, I didn't care about the situation after that. I would have been like, oh my gosh, that's so awful. Someone got shot and was killed. But it was like, do you hear Trump got shot at and he lived? I was like, oh, I don't care.
I think the only thoughts that I had was, like, if he had died, there would have been, like, a civil war. Like, truly, I feel like there would have been a huge division. I mean, there already is division.
If let's not, be real step, here. Like,
this country's
closer.
Falling if, apart.
If anyone had told anyone else in early 2000s that Trump getting assassinated would start a civil war,
it would have been the Simpsons.
It would have been the Simpsons one. Yeah. But also they'd be like, the guy from The Apprentice? Why do we care about him?
The one that showed Kevin where the lobby was?
oh, Kevin.
Did you have the thoughts
about
it? That's
a whole joke.
It's pretty similar, which we've talked about. But, like, we found out when we were with Rob's family and they were all, like, looking at the video, and I heard someone say, oh, his ear got shot. Donald Trump's ear got shot. And I was like, I mean, are we surprised? Like, the amount of death threats that man gets on an hourly basis is probably, like, outstanding.
Same with any president, though. Like,
but especially Donald Trump.
Yeah.
So I wasn't surprised, but I was like, it just, we could go very conspiracy, like, deep. But I was just kind of like, that could start a lot of things. It already is starting a lot of things. But honestly, I'm just trusting that the Lord has my family. And whatever happens to this country, I'm here for it. Get my surfboard.
Yeah.
Get my surfboard.
I still always fall into, I got the privilege to preach once on the 4th of July, and I preached a message that made people leave the church. Found out later. Anyway, but I'm still a firm believer that as Christians, citizens of the kingdom first, and then we can claim our citizenship wherever we live after, right?
Yeah.
So I agree with your statement Marie. I think it's like, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to function in his kingdom. I'm also in this zip code.
Yeah.
And I follow these laws because it's where I'm allowed to live. It's where I'm a part of. And, you know, I just don't have like American pride. I don't have like unless we're sitting through Adventures of America at Epcot. I love that song. America.
Just take
well, that could start a whole conversation. I feel like I definitely have pride in the country. Like,
yeah, I'm grateful.
Absolutely,
for where we
are. I have pride, but it's not like a die hard. Like, if any president gets shot.
Shut him.
If any president gets shot, I'm not about to go to war. Like,
yeah,
with my neighbor about it.
Right.
I think that people just get too hot-headed about all things, but especially, I'm done talking.
Especially what, honey?
Politically.
I think it's hard to say you have like any American pride when the stereotype of what American pride is like, I don't have that.
It's the people with like
devil horns?
Why are you making horns on your head?
It's the Satanists.
No, there's just people out there that are just so like, America, like
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah, there's crazy people on all sides.
On all right. sides.
Like, if anyone yeah. shows up without sleeves on a t-shirt,
yeah.
I think they're going to say America. Like, that
with
is...
their face painted.
When you say like, American pride, that's what I think of. And so it's... I have a heart. I... Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So if I show up next week with a mullet, you think I have you, too much American
you
pride?
You got more American pride.
Yes.
You got prideful.
You got prideful. What were we talking about tonight?
But it's still important to vote, so, you know.
It's still yeah. important to vote.
I think takeaways, at least for that situation, is simply yes. that you can recognize that it was a moment in history that will be remembered forever and we lived through it. I think that that's a big one. And I think that's kind of what shook me was the idea that this is going to be played forever, like, and we're living it right now.
I think what's scary too with that is that with it being on television, that could have been a horrific thing for families to be witnessing, yeah. period. Like, violence, in my opinion, and in scripture, it's not okay, like,
yeah.
at all, and it shouldn't happen. So that is definitely something that would have shaken up America even more so if something horrific like that. I mean, it was horrific.
Yeah.
Anything with violence like that on public television is horrible.
Agreed. One of the other crazy things about it is simply that it was so close to being that.
Yeah.
That's so many people. It was intentionally to happen.
Like, it was intentional.
So many people are like, literally only God could have saved him from that. Like, that was so close. Like, it hit his ear. He was within like a quarter of an inch of death, like would have just on national TV. And it would have been crazy. And it still was crazy, but instead of it becoming such a divisive thing, it became a unifying thing in a way,
right.
which is a beautiful, you know, outcome to that situation. But the one thing that I think the most important takeaway from it is simply that, no matter what happens in this world, we as Christians, our mission never changes, right? Our mission never changes. It is simply that we, in our context, with the people that we are around, we are to be the light into the darkness, right?
Yeah.
We are the image of God wherever we are, whether there's nuclear war or it's the best of times, you know? So I think that that's where to have your head in that. If politically or you are struggling with things mentally, like what's going on? Yeah. Is the CIA involved? Like all this kind of stuff, whatever conspiracy theories you're thinking. But just don't forget, don't lose yourself in that. And remember that it's the now, it's the present, it's the people around you.
Yeah.
That's how Christ is in the world through us. That's all.
If there's a podcast that I try and listen to, but it's so hard for me to care about things going on in the world sometimes.
It's called the Pour Over News.
Yeah, the Pour Over News. It's a Christian-based news where they do not insert any
biased opinion.
They just state what happened and then like if it's something hectic, they'll go straight to scripture right after.
They do that
to
with,
try and keep you like calm.
But they
like,
do they always, that with anything though. They always have a scripture to combat their news article.
So like yeah, so like been, if
it's beautiful,
yeah. So if they bring up like Trump's assassination, they would immediately like finish that news reel of like what happened, what they know, all this other stuff, and then like a little lo-fi beat would come in. And they'll read scripture and give a little bit of truth of like, here's why you shouldn't panic right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, and like
with and the, it's actually really cool.
Yeah, like with the whole new news too with Biden like not running for the next campaign. Like there's like a whole
guy couldn't write if he tried. I'm just kidding. Sorry. Oh, I was just joking. Just joking. Just joking. Right. I respect
the
man.
He didn't get that joke.
Anyways, he's still our president.
Oh, that's why I respect the man.
So, but anyways, for instance, there was like talking about that situation because there's heat in that topic, but then it has a verse to combat about just praying for our leadership, no matter who we know to be the leaders that are coming up. We just need to pray for them. Sorry, my eye is really
distracting.
It burns. Does it burn? No, it's okay. Just, it hurts.
No, have you never seen that video?
No, the vinegar one?
Yeah.
Yes, and I related to it my like a ice. Month later. No. I got apple cider vinegar in my eye, and I was like, it really burns.
It burns. I feel you, girl. I feel you. That's so good.
We're talking about.
So tonight, guys, let's talk about just misconceptions in the church. I think that's something we wanted to kind of just touch base on, things that we've experienced personally and what we've seen and witnessed in our life about the church in general and ideas people think about what church is. If there are people that don't believe in Christianity or faith or church in general, what they believe church is and what it actually is. And we can even go into topic about the early church and church as a whole back in Acts of what the church was like then. But what are your some thoughts, Mr. Rob and Marie?
My some thoughts would be.
What are some things in like at least your life, because you've been raised in the Christian church, and what has been some thoughts that you've heard outside in your work life or like just outside of the church that people have said that you're like, oh, well, that's not true. Like,
well, yeah, the classic. Well, if I walked into the church, the walls would fall down and I'd be shot for heaven.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's definitely one of them.
Okay, so break that down. Yeah. What's that misconception? Church is for really holy people?
Yeah, only people that are worthy of going to church.
Mm.
When in reality, the church is obviously made up of people that are all sinners. We're all broken. We all right. have stories of, you know, brought from somewhere terrible and or we were raised in the church, but we've gone through hard things and God has shown up. So there's that.
We've had people like come to the church and talk through like they talk through some of their story. I remember like sitting out in the lobby just talking to the guy who just felt like he shouldn't be here, older guy, and just talking through his life. He's like, you know, I bet you know a lot of people are really scared of me when we talk, and like a lot of pastors don't want to talk because you know all this other stuff. He I don't know. He just like was trying to make it like. Like, as if I would be afraid of him. And I was like, oh, no, we've got way scarier people that I've hung out with in the other room. Like, I'm not scared of you, buddy. Like, but it was true. It's like, I know people in here that, like, have had a very rough life. Mm. And we still loved on them. And so, like, this whole idea of, like, being perfect.
Mm.
It's so, I feel like a little bit the church did that accidentally. Through pride issues, you know, we portray that a little bit.
Yeah.
I think the hypocritical spirit, too, that can easily just fall into the category of church is that it's filled with hypocrites, which is a sad misconception because there are a lot of incredible people in the body of Christ, and we all can fall short because we do. But it has become, unfortunately, you know, sometimes hypocritical. Because there's been people that have been burned by the church. There's been people that have been kicked out of the church. And what is our job at that point when we hear those stories, when we're talking with people that have experienced that? How do we share the truth?
Mm-hmm.
How do we combat those lies to the truth?
Yeah, I think that there's a difference between maybe conceptions of maybe people that don't go to church, and then new believers as they walk into a church, and then even just old, like people that have been in a church for a long time. I think that it's very easy for people that have been in church for a long time to find themselves in a place of, this is everybody that matters. I think that that's a misconception of the church. I think that it's very important for people to think of the church as way bigger than just the people that they see.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think we're actually in a series about that in church. But I think that it's super important to just be able to have that bigger perspective of, we are part of a church that goes around the world, that bypasses every boundary of every country. Like, we are the kingdom of God on the earth. And that's just a huge thing that we tend to miss sometimes.
So I think that's the biggest thing. Like, what is church? Well, church is the body of believers. It's not in a building. You know, I think that's another misconception, is it's a building. It's like an entity, which like, we are part of that. Yes.
I feel like that, randomly enough, that took COVID for people to really figure out. Like, that's when the new, if you're involved in a bunch of churches or like in the church community, maybe you heard it more than if you were just attending one church or anything else. But I don't know if you guys saw like so many churches being like, the building is closed, but the church is open. That was like the big slogan of COVID when it shut down, because everyone was like, church is closed? It's like, no. Church is very much alive, but the building is locked right now.
Yeah. However, to go off that, I think it's very, very important to congregate together. And
100%.
You can get into a place of comfort by being in front of your TV screen in your home and not surrounding yourself with the body of believers.
Right.
And people not being able to hold you accountable for your life. And you're just stuck in a place in your house in isolation, really.
Right.
And that in tune is not what God calls us to be.
Yeah.
And there's no argument against that. Yeah. A hand is not a body. That's a body part.
Yeah, and I think one, just off of what you said.
Well, Marie was...
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I was about to speak.
I cut her off, and then it let me. You cutting her off, sorry.
Thank you.
Millie.
I think, too, one thing that if you find yourself watching online more than you're attending in person, just compare how you're worshiping at home versus how you worship at church.
Mm.
And kind of see, like, okay, when I'm at home, like, fine, I'm in my pajamas, but do I stand up for worship, and do I like worship the way that I do when I'm in front of people? And then just kind of think, like, why do I worship differently on a Sunday morning if I'm viewing it on the TV versus if I'm in a room? Like, is there a difference between what I'm thinking, how submersed I am in God's will for me and God's will for the church? Like, what is the difference? Are you fully at the hands of the environment around you? And if so, my argument would be, get your butt back in person. Because if you're sitting on the couch watching church like it's your favorite reality TV show, you're not worshiping. You're just
keeping tabs.
Yeah.
Yeah, and to piggyback on that, I think it's also important, if you are somebody that's attending church, but you're in and out, you're not serving, you're not doing anything in the body, you're just feeding yourself and leaving, and you've been a Christian for so long, are you doing the will of God that way too?
What's the misconception there? What do they think the church is? If somebody is doing
that's
that,
the thing.
What's the misconception?
I think, the misconception is church is something I attend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? That's a big one.
It's a checkbox.
That's a huge one.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but randomly enough, I started listening to a podcast that was talking about, I don't want to say the wrong, what? Oh, your eye. Okay. I thought she was mocking me for some reason. I was like, I'm not making that face.
You're mocking me.
Anyway.
Sorry.
I believe it was a worship leader for an Anglican church. It was talking about the history of liturgy in the church, and pretty much saying, if your church service has any form of structure, so if you have a countdown, you do a song one, you do an announcement or two, you go back into a song, you have a liturgy, like you have to work. But they do the breakdown of liturgy, like it's actual translation, meaning the work of the people. Hmm. And the whole idea is, the whole point is to have the entire congregation is participating and doing a work together to build up the body.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was kind of a neat idea. And so like that's why in like Anglican churches, they'll do a lot of like the call and response where the pastor will say one thing and they'll answer back. But they actually went through a lot. It's actually really cool. Just the idea of like what that does, it trains you to I want to say this when someone says glory to God, forever amen. Like I have like something, but it's them working out their own theology in the seats. Either way, just saying like you can't do that from a seat, and you can't do that if you're just coming to church to attend. Like being a part of the church is becoming part of the work of the people.
Yeah,
cool. You have to do the work.
Mm. And I think what you mentioned before is the misconception of church is something I attend, whereas the counter to that would be, no, church is something you are,
yeah.
Right? And so, which means that now you have responsibility to hold the Spirit, like you have the Spirit of God in you, be used by the Spirit of God, right? Like,
yeah.
Like be part of the church. It's not just I come to the church and, you know, I serve on the serve team. Even if you're not serving on the serve team or the volunteer team at your church, you are still part of the church and you still have responsibility to love people that walk through the door,
yeah.
To encourage the people around you, to love the people around you, to forgive people that you're in conflict with, to work through things. Like that's what the church is.
Yeah.
I know that you have something to say, so I'm going to
wait. Oh, no, I was just kind of going off of what you're saying with like being a part of the church. I think sometimes with being a part of the body of church and people that are maybe new believers, they have almost an intimidation on what to do in the church, or they are not sure. They have no idea like what they're supposed to do to help serve in the church. And I think we as Christians or leaders in the church body, our job is to help equip them and to help them discover the gifts that God's given them and how they can be used, because we all are unique in our own gifts. We all have different attributes that we can be in the body. Like, I think that's very important for people to understand that nobody has one perfect job. Like, we are all doing something differently to create a healthy body. Mm, yeah. So if you are struggling in your church, your local church, and you're not sure what gifts you have or what calling you have, go to your leadership and have them help you figure those things out, because you can always be used in the body. No job is too small.
Yeah, that's really good.
I think this brings up the other topic of, and maybe you guys can help me work out the misconception, but the idea that I guess we kind of talked about it a little bit, but I wanted to talk about what church is. How do you create the right church culture? But when you walk into a church, obviously it's not. Sorry, this is going to be me brainstorming for a minute because I had a
this
thought.
This is what we do at 6 a.m. on the phone.
Yeah, this is me talking to Jeremy on the phone.
I normally say one profound word and he gets it.
Yes, you're right.
I'm just kidding.
But you're not.
All right, guys. no, so it's just this, there's, what should the church be when you walk into it? Like, what does it actually consist of? There's so many different aspects to the church, but there is an, like, what is, as a common church goer, that's not, maybe not in leadership, like I said before, not serving that day, whatever, you're coming to church, what's my responsibility for the day? What is being part of the church mean for me? What is you are the church?
If I think through like the journey of what's laid out in scripture, if you're at that stage, you are either the path, the rocks, the good soil, and your job is to find a way to let the message of Jesus take root in your heart, right? That's your job. You got to find a way to let it take root, because then the scripture that follows through of, you know, how do you have faith and not serve him? How do you have faith without works? And so it goes into this like layered thing for me.
Yeah.
You know, for, I know for Haley and I, we talked through like an approach that helped us when we started being pastors. We felt more frustrated than hopeful because we're, you know, at the Dover location, we have quite a bit of people that come on a Sunday. Not like we're a mega church or anything, but we have quite a bit of people that come on Sunday. But then you look at like our volunteer teams, the number of people who are actually giving, the people who will show up for events when we ask people to show up, all this other stuff is a lot lower than those who attend. And so I started getting really frustrated, just being transparent. Like, I started feeling like, man, our church sucks. No one is showing up when we're asking them to show up. Like, what kind of church is this? And I finally had to like realize, like, all right, we have people who attend that I have to just know they are not part of the church yet because they have not committed in their heart that they're part of the church. Mm. So now I try and look out and I see there's the church body, which I think is maybe maybe a third of our or one third of our attendance, I'd say is like the church body. Mm. And then there's a bunch of ministry opportunity. And so we have a lot of ministry opportunity with people who are still waiting to like receive the message of Jesus, like in the good soil.
Yeah.
And so that again, it comes along the lines of like when someone isn't a Christian and you start holding them to Christian standards, you're almost guaranteed going to start getting frustrated at them.
Oh yeah.
Because that, why are you being like that? Why are you doing all those things? But you're holding them to your morals. Mm-hmm. Right. And I feel the same way of like the church body. If I start saying this person who just started showing up is a church member, but they only show up once a month, then I'm going to start to get frustrated at them because I thought they were a church member. Versus they showed up once, all right, they're an opportunity to minister to them. And we're just hoping the message of Jesus like gets rooted in their heart. I don't know if that answers anything, but it's just the thought process that I've gone through of like, if you're just attending and not serving or not like encouraging, bringing people with you, whatever, list of things of like actively doing to further the kingdom.
Yeah, and I think, like you mentioned before, there are different stages of Christianity, right? And we talked about that. Pete Scazzaro talked about it. The different stages of like there's the
stages
you
just
yeah you first realize who Jesus is. You're in a learning discipleship phase after that. Then you're in a serving phase, and then you hit this wall which we talked about, and then you go into the inward journey and then the outward journey.
Yeah, transformed into love.
And so then I think that your role in a church, picking whichever one of those you're in, there's nothing wrong with being in any one of those. There's probably something wrong with being in one of the phases and like for too long, because that certain, like you'll stagnate at some point. But I think that ultimately, whichever phase you're in that journey, your goal when you come to church is to learn first off, and then is to be part of it in any way that you can, right? Like to be helpful. And then if you get involved with relationship situations where maybe there are conflicts or there are issues, those things need to be worked out. Like you grow, you learn, you figure out how to be part of the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think something kind of crucial too that comes follow or before just like people getting more involved in their church body is that the discipleship aspect that tends to come beforehand. And I think sometimes a lot of people like the idea of being discipled, but then when it comes down to it, when they have that one-on-one connection with somebody and when they're getting down to the nitty-gritties of like their walk, their faith, their life journey, that scares people away. And they don't want to be honest and real with themselves. And so that's when you see a lot of people just kind of slow down attendance to church, slow down community involvement, slow down mentorship with somebody, discipleship, whatever you want to call it. And that's when you see this drastic cutoff of people that become more active people in the church versus the people that are just attenders.
Yeah. One of the things that I've been praying through this week is for Sunday, we have a song that one of the lyrics is, build me up to be more like Christ. And then directly after that is a song that says, if more of you means less of me, take everything, which is such a cool, rounded theological idea. Mm-hmm. Good job, Jeremy.
Just put songs together and throw them out.
But I was just thinking through, like, I really want that to hit home with our church this week. And I think it fits with this. Like, when people become a part of something exponentially larger than they can understand, if they stick with it, so like if that's you listening to this podcast, be encouraged. If you stick with the hard discipleship, if you stick with the convictions and following through with obedience to the Lord, your problems that you're working through become so much smaller.
Absolutely.
Because you have so much more perspective and you have a vision and a mission beyond what you can understand. And so it truly does make the hardest things in life easier to understand and deal with in the moment. So I think that is just a really cool perk of being part of the body.
Yeah. Cotton ball drop.
You wouldn't hear it. another misconception, I think we saw it from one side, was we had mentioned before that I need to be perfect to come to the church. But then the other misconception would be that the church is perfect, that the church that I go into needs to be perfect or should be perfect.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Like if they are not doing it the perfect way,
I'm out.
They must be evil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to teach them.
I think that's honestly been a big thing we've witnessed in the past 5 years of ministry, is just seeing how sometimes the church isn't the right fit for them because it's not meeting the expectations they want. Not necessarily that fit, like the church as a body, but it's their personal choice. Like this doesn't, they don't do this, they don't do this, because it's all self-desired.
Yeah, that's why I still want to do an episode of discipleship as a buzzword. I still really want to talk about it.
And I think too, another thing in regards to like the discipleship aspect, because I'm going on like kind of a tangent here, but there'd been like an influx of people ditching the church and doing their own thing with house church, smaller churches, because they think that's where the true church is, because they're following the book of Acts, like the house church situation. And that is wonderful to have, yes. There is growth, there is discipleship, there is fellowship. Those things are so crucial for your walk. And I absolutely believe that that's how you grow as a believer. However, when you're not in a body of other people too, where you're not in a place of congregation of worship all together, because that is what the temple was too. Like you think about all of that, like they came together to worship as a body of believers. And you can still do that in your home, yes, but like, Rob, you're gonna say something, go ahead.
There's just also an aspect of submission.
Yes.
When you step
because
into a church
into
body.
Authority.
You're mm-hmm. you're submitting to authority and you're recognizing that God has put people in place.
Yes.
So you're submitting to trusting God in a different way than you can do when you're doing it by yourself at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was kind of going into, is that when you allow yourself to trust the authority that is given to you, and you can see that it is it's not just one person in charge of a whole church, but like there's people involved and above the church, not just what you see. There is an element of trust that comes into that. And you see how, I mean, even way back in the Old Testament, look at Moses, like there was structure involved in the church. And like he had people to help him through when there was multiple problems, there was issues going on. He had his men to help with that. And I think that's a beautiful picture of what church is too. Like we have elders, we have people involved in our church to help with those decisions, because there needs to be a structure. And sometimes when people break into those house churches, yes, it's beautiful, but is there accountability? Is there people in place to help mold and grow the church in that way?
I think because that's the part that is important too, like to have that accountability.
Right, but it's stagnant at that point. At one point or another, is that it becomes almost like a little club, a house club.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not trying to, like, wail on the house church, because I don't think a house church is a bad thing. Again, no. I think it has its importance, absolutely.
Honestly, it's where, in bigger congregations and anywhere, if you're studying the Word of God with a smaller group of people, that's where I really feel like
the Spirit of God moves in spiritual gifts. Mm-hmm. That's where you'll start to realize where you have spiritual gifts.
Hospitality.
Because, right.
Like music.
Words of knowledge.
All of these things. Prayer. Mm-hmm. All of those things can follow into those house churches.
Because you're giving opportunity for the Spirit of God to move.
Yeah. Yes.
I think, but so all of this to say also that that doesn't mean you should walk into any church and just automatically trust the person that's in charge. You need to be able to be smart. You walk into a church, Pastor Nate spoke about this during his authority message, where basically it was that he's put himself under the authority
of the district.
Mm-hmm. And so you want to be able to know who people are in submission to and who they're held accountable to. And if you could trust that system, then you submit. And then it's all right, God, I know you're in charge here. Like, you can confidently say that, God, you're in charge here, and then you follow through with that. That's not something that you really should back up on or back out on.
Yeah. Until it doesn't work for me anymore.
Right, exactly. Like if that's your community, you stick around until God literally is like, there's nothing, like, you can't do anything here. Like, I'm not here. Like, you stick around. Like, if there's an issue, you don't have to force change, but you allow the Spirit of God to move through you, through other people, pray with people, work the way that the Bible calls a Christian to work. If there's an issue with a brother, you talk to them one-on-one. If it's still a biblical issue, you get somebody else to confront the brother with you, or the sister. But the idea is like, there are ways to work through church life and do it well. Even like, no matter what occurs, the Spirit of God is still with this group of people, because the church isn't a building and it's not really a governmental structure. It's you guys. It's us, right?
Well, yeah. I think that there can be arguments for both. I do believe that there are appropriate times to leave a church.
I agree.
Like, it's not just like dead loyalty until it's obvious that they're mm-hmm. worshiping Satan. I think God places convictions on different people. And so if a church heads in a direction that's against your conviction, that's something to pray about and talk to the church leadership about. And then if it comes to it, you part peacefully.
Yes. Right.
And after conversation, you don't just peace out and be like, well,
God called me, bye.
Yeah. You have to, like, you're in submission actively to the leadership of that church. So you talk to them about it before taking yourself out of submission.
Right. Yeah.
And it preserves relationships. It strengthens bridges rather than burns them. Yeah. So, yeah, I think
agreed.
There's loyalty, but there's also being obedient to what God has placed for you.
Yes.
Because there's so many different directions you can go in, so many different
subjects. Yeah, there's just a ton of self-reflection that needs to take place with that it's not pride.
Right.
See, well, if I were pastor, we would be doing that. Exactly. Oh, now I have a conviction, we should be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because there are plenty of people that have left a church. Well, if I were in charge, we would do a lot more outreach.
Yeah.
Okay, do you know the names of all the people that attend our church right now?
Yeah. No.
Why don't you outreach to the lobby?
Right, no, exactly.
You know, it's just a random tangent. Why don't you outreach to the auditorium before you go tell people on the streets to come to a church?
Right, like, which is why that conversation piece is so important.
Yeah.
You have to talk to the leadership, because they know, oh, I can speak into your life about this.
Right.
We can redirect, and it can be easy or it can be hard, whatever you choose.
And just to speak to on that, there is like nothing.
I'm not
there's
outreach.
Nothing. I was gonna say there's nothing wrong with people in like that are missionaries that are going out and doing outreach and preaching the gospel, because they are doing exactly what God has called them to do. So I was just pointing that out, that there is nothing wrong with outreach and missionaries. But again, it's if.
You're a missionary.
I'm Rob Fredette, and I approve this message.
I guess where my mind goes, as far as we're talking about, like, what is the church? The church is the vehicle that God has chosen the gospel to be spread through. Like, the church is the communication method that Jesus told us to do. Be unified, come together, worship me, tell everyone about the good news. And so I think with everything we've been talking about of like what church is, what it isn't, don't do this, don't do that. If you're missing that element, that's the part that, so yes, coming together in someone's home and doing a study is amazing. If you do a small house church where no one's inviting anyone or no one's actually being built up enough to tell other people about Jesus, it's not a church anymore because you're not even, you don't even need new guests to show up, but you better be built up enough to be the light in your workplace to tell people about Jesus. And if you're not, if no one is sharing the gospel outside of the house church, then it's no longer a church. It's just a get together, right? Like we have small groups at our church. Like we've been all a part of a small group together. I wouldn't say that that was we weren't doing church then. We were working on ourselves and building each other up. But then we knew, like, if we're inviting people to anything that are don't know Jesus, we're not going to bring them to this small group. We're going to bring them to Sunday morning. And so either way, we have to be spreading the gospel somehow, or else we need to be redefining, like, where does that happen next? And it can happen a number of ways, like, even if it's just pouring into the kids that are coming into the church through the already believers having kids, you know what I mean? Mm. Like whatever, like even just still pouring into something like that is still counts to me as long as there's some sort of plan to like grow the kingdom. That's the important key to me that I feel like that's what the church is.
She's declining fast.
I would just say one more thing that I'm realizing, especially in Milton, or not especially, but just because that's where I see things happening. I've recognized that our church or church is a place where new believers are stewarded. God has been bringing new believers to Milton, people that are just starting to believe. And it's, I've been feeling as if it's a test of, hey, what are you gonna do with the people that I bring to you?
Yeah.
Are you gonna steward them well? Are you gonna train them up in the way that they should go? Are you gonna bring them, are you gonna create disciples out of them, or are you going to let them get lost in a system and then I'll know maybe I shouldn't drop any more, like bring any more to this place. Maybe you should go somewhere else. Yeah. You know, like it, I've just been feeling that pretty heavy on my heart that the church is a place, it's a training ground for believers to grow off, but then to go, right? Yeah. It's a training ground to get people to grow, to go. And be part of the church in an equipped way, to equip the church. That's what our job is as pastors, is to equip.
It's not just on Sundays, it's every day. Like churches, it may be on a Sunday where you come and congregate, you worship, you pray, and you...
There's a misconception.
Yeah, it is another misconception. But you, when you are part of a church body on a Sunday, that is to help empower you, the Holy Spirit, to move forward in the rest of your week and to continue your outreach outside of a Sunday throughout the rest of their work week. And I think that's been something that we've seen from generation to generation. And I think there's been a little bit of a shift in this past generation of believers where we're like, no, it's not just on a Sunday. It's every day. And it's, where do we fuel ourselves to outside of a Sunday, especially like talking in a church leadership position here. Sundays are a day for an outreach day. It's where we serve, we give, we work together. But where do we find the fuel? And it's throughout the week. It's in our time with God. It's when we meet up with other believers. It's when we're eating a meal at a table with our fellow believers. We're talking through convictions on our heart. We're going through the struggles together. We're praying, we're lifting each other up, and we're using our gifts. Those happen throughout the week. So we are ready, we are equipped, and we're ready for Sunday service on a Sunday.
So then what is the church? It is a group of people that are being...
Well, I thought you were posing the same question and us answer it again. I was
bring this thing to a close.
No, so the idea... I thought you were laughing at the fact that she just cleaned her eye and almost stuck it directly into Jeremy's eye.
Did I?
How dare you?
No, but the idea was...
Gosh. Sorry.
The idea was, what is the church but a group of people that the Spirit of God is moving in, that they are allowing the Spirit of God to move in them to keep unity and submission
to like under the correct authorities and things like that, but we're in submission to Christ, and we are our goal is keeping unity, and through, I think the Bible says, through the bond of peace. But basically it's this idea of not fake peace, right? It's not about fake peace. It's about being right with God and right with others. And that is who the church is. We walk forward, we move together, we are of one mind. That is the goal of church. And sometimes it feels like, sometimes it doesn't always feel like that. So because of whatever the misconceptions are that people walk in with, they don't, like sometimes I have those misconceptions. Sometimes I've been in it for so long that it's like, I find myself lost in a misconception, and I need to recenter that. But anyway, I just think that, I mean, do we think, I mean, if we think of any more, we could always bring them up, but
we'll have part two this sucker.
If there are any more, but yeah.
I just wanted to end too with people that are coming to church with the conception that the church is going to fall down on them, or they're not good enough for church, or it's a club. That is so far from the truth. And there are people that will love you, that will accept you and help you learn who Jesus is, because Jesus is ultimately what we are all about. Like, he's the reason he gives us the grace and the freedom that when we are so undeserving, he's given it to us. And that's a gift we are so proud of carrying. And we want to share that with you. It's not about seeing how many sins you've done this week. It's not about keeping tabs of those things. It's just about learning who Jesus is and getting that grace and the forgiveness when you realize that we are all in need of a Savior.
Yeah.
Just thought of another misconception. We don't have to go into it right now. but the idea of people coming in thinking that they're going to be judged. That's a misconception. Not in all churches.
Yeah, but not all the time. Bye, everyone.
Double ping pong.